This is KFIZ Radio and First Presbyterian Church, located at 1225 4th Street in Fond du Lac. Thank you for joining us this morning in prayer and devotion.
Prophet Malachi calls us to watch for the messenger God will send us, a messenger who burns with a passion for God's coming salvation.
For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Malachi chapter 3, verses 2b to 3.
In a world driven by passion to maintain the status quo, we choose to live with the passion for God's peace, to listen to those who call us to righteousness, and to submit ourselves to God's grace, that we might be refined and purified until we reflect God's love throughout the earth.
We light this candle of peace as a sign of our commitment to passionately pursue the work of making peace in our hearts, our families, our communities, and throughout the earth until God's kingdom comes on earth as it is in heaven.
John's father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Bless the Lord God of Israel, because he has come to help and has delivered his people.
He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in his servant David's house, just as he said through the mouths of his holy prophets long ago.
He has brought salvation from our enemies and from the power of all those who hate us.
He has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and remembered his holy covenant, the solemn pledge he made to our ancestor Abraham.
He has granted that we would be rescued from the powers of our enemies, so that we could serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness in God's eyes, for as long as we live.
You, child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way.
You will tell his people how to be saved through the forgiveness of their sins.
Because of our God's deep compassion, the dawn from heaven will break upon us to give light to those who are sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide us on the path of peace.
From Luke's Gospel, the third chapter. In the 15th year of the rule of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor over Judea and Herod was ruler over Galilee, his brother Philip was ruler over Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias was ruler over Abilene during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas. God's word came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness.
John went throughout the region of the Jordan River, calling for people to be baptized to show that they were changed in their hearts and lives and wanted God to forgive their sins. This is just as it was written in the scroll of the words of Isaiah the prophet.
A voice crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord. Make his path straight. Every valley will be filled, and every mountain and hill will be leveled. The crooked will be made straight, and the rough places made smooth. All humanity will see God's salvation."
This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Almighty and gracious God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all our hearts, be acceptable and pleasing unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Have you ever experienced theater makeup? Now, I've personally experienced, you know, just some of the basics to get rid of the shine and give a little extra theater color type thing. But I remember that first time that I saw someone getting theater makeup put on to make it look like they had this really borderline gruesome wound. And if I hadn't watched this entire process from beginning to end, I would have thought this was real. It looked real, even up close. Now, I realize that this lady doing this, and men do it as well, that's a whole different area of artist's work. Truly, she was an artist. There was a purpose. There's a purpose in theater to put on that makeup, to be able to create a certain image that maybe isn't really there. Same thing happens in television, movies. Now in movies, we've got CGI, the computer-generated imagery. And with the advancement of AI augmenting CGI, it's difficult to know if what we're watching has anything real in it or if it's entirely made up, fake, artificial. And now we can pull out our phones and iPads, and with just a swipe, we can add all sorts of different filters that do just about anything. And sometimes they do more than what we really want them to do. And we create this world that we live in that is fake. It's not real. And I've realized there are many people that come into worship service on Sunday morning. But that's pretty much what they're doing. They're displaying a sense of peace when the reality deep inside is emptiness, loneliness, guilt and shame, anxiety, fear, grief, hurt. And the problem is, you or I, we can't really tell. We'd never know how they're feeling on the inside. I can look out and see all of your faces, and I don't know what happened in the last 24 hours in your life that maybe has turned everything upside down, and you're just on a fringe sitting in the pews with a smile on your face, looking so peaceful. Because that's what we're supposed to do when we're in church, right? I'd argue no. The problem is, all we see is that fake mask that's painted on. But when those who are close to us, our family, our friends, even our coworkers, when they know the struggles that we're dealing with, and then they see us on Sunday morning, just smiling to one another, it can look like an act. Like it's all fake. Like we're just putting on this mask of peace to hide all the imperfections of reality inside for an hour or two and get through that. And for some, it is nothing more than just an act. Because that's what many have been taught is the right thing to do. For those for whom I'm talking there, that it is nothing more than an act, and you're feeling the Spirit speaking to you. The Spirit is calling you into repentance. We need to create an atmosphere where we can be open and honest. For some, it's much more than an act. It's the actual truth of encountering the presence of God's peace. Experiencing the presence of the Father's love, the forgiveness found in Christ's death and resurrection, the healing power of the Holy Spirit, washing away the masks that we wear to get through the rest of the week. For you, the Spirit is speaking, saying you are on the path of peace. In our scripture today, we read, because of our God's deep compassion, the dawn from heaven will break upon us to give light to those who are sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide us on the path of peace. If you're feeling that presence of the Spirit revealing that you're faking a life of peace, know that you are on that path of peace. And if you're feeling the presence of the Spirit revealing your personal moments of true peace as a temporary harbor from the storms of everyday life, know that you too are on that path of peace. If you're listening to this message from afar, longing for what seems to be a fleeting or elusive encounter with what Paul and Timothy phrase as a peace that exceeds all understanding, a peace that transcends, know that you too are on that path of peace. So what is this path of peace? What does the path of peace look like? Probably not what we might expect it to look like. If you were to ask people what the path of peace looks like, and I encourage you to ask people this question as you go through this upcoming week, I'm going to guess you're likely going to get some sort of a tranquil nature type scene away from the busyness and noise of life, absent of anything man-made, absent of any conflict, and the person's going to be all alone, much like the image that we have today. There's probably, maybe you'll encounter a white dove in some way or another. That's typically there if, you know, they've got any kind of a church upbringing. But that's a deceptive image, I would say, that the world paints for us. That's what we long for. That's what we expect it to be, because that's what the world has taught us. But that's not the peace that God of the Bible talks about. You see, we can and we do find moments of peace in various places, many of which are found in nature, when we're away from other humans, especially those that, for whatever reason, seem to produce some conflict in our life, whether it's because of them or because of us. But peace, true peace, the peace of God, is not just the absence of conflict. It's the fullness of God's presence. We can even experience peace in the midst of conflict. I'd go so far as to say we should experience peace in the midst of conflict. That's what carries us through conflict without picking up our marbles and going home, without dividing us versus them, me versus you, right versus wrong. The peace of God holds us together. We can experience that mystery of God's presence, not only in the midst of conflict, but in our everyday, ordinary lives. We like to envision peace as the prophet Isaiah foretold in the words, "Every valley will be filled, every mountain and hill will be leveled, the crooked will be made straight, the rough places made smooth." We like to reference those passages. That gives us a sense of peace and hope, of something that's void of all the struggles of this world. But what about the verse that comes before those? Prepare the way for the Lord. Make his paths straight. That's the hard work. Were those just the words for John the Baptist and they stopped? Or what if those are words for us to live out as well? How might you and I be more like John? How can we help prepare the way for the Lord? How can we create an atmosphere for encountering the presence of the living God in the everyday, ordinary moments of life? Maybe instead of that older WWJD bracelet that so many of us had, what would Jesus do? We could pull those out and change it around. What would John do? How did John prepare the way for Christ? And what can we do to prepare? We're told that John went throughout the region of the Jordan River calling for people to be baptized to show that they were changing their hearts and their lives and they wanted God to forgive their sins. Many times when I've heard about John the Baptist, read about him, I'd think of some of the street preachers that I've encountered. Many times growing up, going down to Madison, up and down State Street, I'd hear some street preachers, and John wasn't just this crazy man shouting at people about their sins and the end of the world. Neither are those street preachers. There's some truth. John was calling people to repentance. And that's what we need to do. Calling us and calling others to turn away from sin, turning towards God. It's a calling people to change their hearts, to change their lives. And we need to hear that calling ourselves. We are called to be bold in our faith, saying no to ungodly actions, or being bold in our faith by encouraging others to encounter God's peace in a new way. We're called to display on the outside the reality of who we are on the inside. Because we're not perfect. We don't have it all together. We need God and we need one another. John the Baptist wore clothes and ate foods like the prophets of the Old Testament. He didn't put on fancy clothes of royalty or dine in banquets prepared by servants because he was announcing the King of Kings coming in, the Lord of Lords. Maybe that's how the Pharisees, religious leaders of that day, would have envisioned the Messiah coming and the prophet announcing the Messiah. But no, wearing camel skins and eating locusts and honey, yum. What you saw with John the Baptist, it's what you got. He was a prophet, a person called by God to call others to a new way of life, life that we know only comes through death and allowing those little death moments to be lived out in our life, putting to death the sins of our life. Just as John was calling people to be prepared for Jesus, you and I need to be calling people to be prepared to encounter the presence of Jesus. Now, like I said, we don't need to go out and kill some animals and live off the land, anything like that. That was specific for John the Baptist. You and I are called to witness to others, to give a testimony, to call others in different ways, different even from one another. It may be as small as showing kindness to somebody who's having a bad day, a few words of encouragement to a cashier working a shift that's filled with rude people. That could make all the difference in their life. Pausing to hold the door for somebody who's carrying an armload of gifts or struggling to walk, or maybe they're kind of slow and you hurried up to get around them to get into the store quickly and you realize, you know what, they've just got their head hanging down. You can tell by their body language as you go past them on your mission to get into that store, get what you need to do and get out, avoid all the conflict of the crowds, and you pause and you stand at the door and you hold it for them and you wait for them to shuffle in. And maybe as they go past, they look at you and they stand up just a little bit taller and feel a little weight of the world lifted off of them because somebody cares. Somebody noticed them. It's amazing how much a simple smile, a pause, lets you impact the lives of others around. It may be something that requires a little bit more of you. Maybe stepping outside of your comfort zone, inviting a friend to church, maybe even starting a Bible study amongst coworkers or friends. There are many ways that we can be able to show others that, yes, we are real sinful human beings, but we are redeemed, and that we have God's peace in our life. And because of that peace, God has made us into something different. The path of peace is that encounter with the divine. Luke phrases the words of Isaiah by saying, all humanity will see God's salvation. This means that we, in the midst of our living, our breathing, our human life filled with conflict, we're able to encounter the presence of God It's not just in worship on Sunday morning. God comes to us this time of year, we remember, as a child, amidst other humans that are marginalized, in a lowly manger, an animal feeding trough, surrounded by all the smells and sounds of that sweet manger scene. I can say that growing up on a farm, it was sweet. As he grew up, he was persecuted. He was executed on the cross so that we might be able to encounter the presence of God as we are, without fear. If we are to live out that type of life, being sinful, selfish human beings that we are, living out that promise of being transformed more and more into that likeness of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit living together in community, we need to learn how to do that. We decorate Christmas with a mask of lights. We adorn it with angels and stars. We proclaim in song, "Glory to God in the highest." These are all good and meaningful ways to celebrate the birth of our Savior and to prepare our hearts for His return. But in the Christmas story, that image of the invisible God made visible in human form, sleeping in that sweet-smelling manger, resting among angels. Angels giving frightening words to night laborers. That, my friend, is the path of peace. In community, the messiness of it all, the uncertainty, off the beaten path. In the weeks ahead, we're going to begin to unwrap this giant present that comes between us and the presence of the crucified Christ. But for now, may we begin afresh by choosing to heed the prophet's call, choosing to turn our lives back to the ways of God so that we might encounter the presence of the resurrected Christ, allowing God to be at work in us, through us, and, as I like to say, even especially in spite of us, so that all may see salvation, so that all may encounter the presence of God. May we journey together on this mysteriously captivating and powerfully unburdening path of peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in faith, so that you overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us in this time of prayer and devotion. We are First Presbyterian Church in Fond du Lac. We are Christians serving, learning, and loving. For more information about us, our phone number is 920-922-0425. You can find us on the web at www.fdlpresbyterian.org. We are located at 1225 4th Street and have in-person worship on Sundays at 9 a.m. Staff nursery is available for 3 years and under.